you are new to us, we have been in the series on prayer. We're calling it Don't Hang Up because we are looking at prayer as not just a an act of spiritual discipline, which is good to have those set-aside times of prayer, but seeing prayer as an ongoing relationship, an ongoing conversation with God. You know, I don't have a conversation with my kids and then just hang up from my kids and then not talk to them the rest of the day. Like, there's still a relationship. There's still an ongoing openness there. Same with all the relationships that I have. You know, let's continue talking. We don't say then talking time is done, goodbye, until next time I feel like picking up the phone. It's ongoing. I think God wants that with us. And so far, we've looked at different aspects of prayer. We've talked about approaching prayer from a standpoint of stillness and quiet and things that I'm not always great at because I want to rush ahead to what I'm excited about, what I want to pray for. But being still and knowing that God is in control, knowing that there is a King and a Lord that is sovereign and almighty and in control of all the burdens on my heart right now. Approaching prayer with a posture of stillness. A couple weeks ago, we talked about beginning prayer. The starting point for prayer is praise and worship. God, you are good. God, you are worthy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Holy is your name. Naming the holiness of God, centering our prayers on who God is and his character. Before I rush to the to-do list, say pause in stillness and say, Lord, you are good. Lord, you alone are holy. You are worthy of my prayers. Last week, we talked about this kind of communion and relationship with God must include an aspect of confession and receiving grace and continually going to God with our prayers of confession. And we talked about last week incorporating into our prayer Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, which says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God does the searching. God does the revealing of the things in my heart that I need to confess in the first place. I might not realize that there's something in there. I didn't even know that I was thinking that or living that or not doing that thing he's called me to. So reveal that in me. God does the searching and then we do the naming. We name to God, God, I'm sorry. I've done this. I've thought this. I didn't do that. I'm sorry. We name to God and name to a brother or sister we trust. Hey, can you help me with this? I need you to help sharpen me. I need you to help. I need to name some of the rust and the dirty places that I need you to, you know, iron sharpens iron. I need you to sharpen me. We can't really have that in the church if we're not naming our stuff. Willing to take that step in trust. And there is a vulnerability there. So God does the searching, we do the naming. And we looked last week also at this really powerful verse regarding our confessions. From 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The first verse just names the state we're in. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So naming, we're all in this boat together of needing grace, needing just buckets of God's grace that, again, none of us have earned being here. None of us are worthy of being here. I am not your pastor because I am good enough. I need grace. I need forgiveness every second of every day. So we're in this boat together of being sinners. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is really, in my estimation, my point of view, this is the core of the gospel, that we are forgiven. That is the good news of the gospel. We don't drag ourselves to church as beaten up loser failures who are just saddled with all these weights and sins. If you are, give it to God and be free from those things. But if we confess, he is faithful and just and will forgive us through and by and because of Jesus, his blood, his cross, his empty tomb, we are forgiven. That is the gospel. That is the good news we live into. That's the good news we share with the world. Because of Jesus, we have hope and forgiveness and freedom from all that stuff. Okay, and so now, as the forgiven, as the Holy Spirit-empowered followers of Jesus, we have been instructed to do something outside of ourselves with our prayers. We've been instructed to point our prayer lives outward, not always inward, to lift up others in prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes to his protege Timothy. Timothy's learning what it means to be a pastor. What does faithfulness look like? How do I be a man of God to lead others? And Paul writes this to him. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Okay, another name for praying for others is intercessory prayer. Intercede on their behalf. Intercessory prayer. An intercessor goes between two people. Okay, they intercede. Intercessory prayer. In intercessory prayer, we are lifting up someone's needs to God on their behalf. Kind of walking alongside them, saying, yeah, I know you're struggling with this. I know you need this. You know, let me pray with you. Let me be your intercessor in this. You, of course, pray too for yourself. Pray for that issue yourself, but I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to be that kind of brother for you. This is outward, others-focused prayers, not praying for ourselves. And we're going to talk about praying for ourselves next week. That's important, too. This week, we're talking about outward-focused. Tyler Staton, he writes in his book, Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools. A lot of what we're looking at in this series comes from that book. It's really, really good. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Tyler Staton writes, intercession is a willing and intentional choice to turn from the endless spiral into self to the desires, needs, and circumstances of another. Turn away from always what I need, what I want, what my family needs, what my family wants, what is affecting me, what is directly impacting my life. Well, that's going to be inconvenient to me, so I'll pray for that. But no, just that need way over there that might have nothing to do with my family or I. Turning away from that pattern all the time. And we just sang that Jesus' model for prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done. We just sang, build your kingdom here. That's a different way of saying your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, those three words, that is a bold prayer. That is a huge prayer. That is praying for God to institute his priorities and his characteristics, the priorities and characteristics of his kingdom, not mine, his kingdom, not my nation's, his kingdom, not that politician's idea, his kingdom, not my friend's idea, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That is praying, Lord, tear down just the evil in this world and bring your goodness and your light. Break apart all of the oppression and violence and racism and evil and all these things that are just polluting our world. Your kingdom come. Okay, we can and should be interceding in prayers for our world as a whole. We can and should also be lifting up individuals in prayer. Praying the huge, Lord, your kingdom come prayers, and also the, Lord, will you heal this prayers? Heal that little girl. Restore that relationship. Give that friend freedom from that addiction. Reconcile those two people. Guide her. Strengthen him. God's word calls us, again, to be intercessors. Intercede for the needs of all people in prayer. Richard Foster is a pretty famous Christian author. Years and years ago, he wrote, I think, probably the most famous book on spiritual disciplines. I mean, what it means to pray and read scripture and fast and have silence and solitude, all those practices. He wrote a book about that. He also wrote a book on prayer. And Richard Foster, he writes this in his book on prayer. He says, in the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, okay, build your kingdom here, work of the kingdom of God, Nothing is more important than intercessory prayer. In the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, nothing is more important than intercessory prayer. So I came across this quote this week, and it gave me pause. Because I looked at it, and I thought, you know what, that sounds right. That sounds right. I want to give, you know, an amen 100% to this. I want to say, yes, this is spot on. Of course. You know, God can work in my prayers more than what I can preach, more than what I can do, more than what we can plan. This sounds right. This sounds holy. This sounds spiritual. And I want this to be true. We might want this to be true. But I think most of the time, most of us don't believe that this is true. If we believed that interceding in prayer for the needs of others was the most important thing that we can be doing as a church and doing as individual followers of Christ, doing as a family, this belief would be reflected in our time, our schedules, our priorities, our families, our everything. Some of the times it is, often it's not. In the past, we've held prayer nights at the church, right here in the sanctuary. We've tried different things, different ways. Come and pray. Oftentimes, it's me and four other people. Last week, I was asked to lead the devotional for the conference-wide, so we're talking Global Methodist Church, conference-wide monthly prayer gathering. Our conference is the Northeast of America, so several different states. 200 churches, not individuals, 200 churches represented. Different pastors, different presiding elders, lay leaders, just anybody who can be on this Zoom call and just pray for the needs in our world, the needs of our conference. Pray over our conference superintendent, our bishop, our missionaries, all these things. Really, really good things. I was on this Zoom call last Tuesday. Of the 200 churches represented, 20 people are on this call. Me and 19 people. We're on this Zoom call. And honestly, I was only on it because I was asked to give the devotional for it. I wouldn't have been there. My first time ever being on it. Well, PJ, I didn't know about the conference-wide monthly Zoom call for prayer. If I would have known that, I could have been on it. Why didn't you announce it? Why didn't you tell us? Because it wasn't a priority for me. Because I'm confessing it wasn't important enough. And that's the issue. That's my issue. That's our issue. It's just not, we can say all over the place, prayer is the most important thing we could be doing for building the kingdom of God. There's a part of me that's like, yes, amen, let's go. You look at my life and it's like, sometimes, maybe. So why isn't this a bigger priority for us? Why aren't we spending more, giving more of our time and our attention to intercessory prayer, lifting up these needs for others who are hurting or who need help? You know, there's a few things that are necessary for us to even consider engaging in intercessory prayer. There's three big things that I think are required for us to even start praying these prayers in the first place. The first thing that intercessory prayer requires is trust. Intercessory prayer requires trust. We need a whole lot more trust that God is at work in and through our prayers. And the thing is, you know, prayer is messy. Prayer is not a formula in the way that I want it to be a formula. I want prayer to be, you know, 100 people times 100 hours in prayer equals one miracle. Like, if you just give that, we can rally around that and just knock off the miracles, knock off the to-do lists, and we're just ready to go. But prayer has an element of mystery to it, an element of messiness to it, that it's not that kind of formula. No, I have seen miraculous answers to prayer in this church. because we've prayed together and God has answered with miraculous healing. I've also prayed with you for other things and miraculous healing didn't happen. And in those times, the enemy, he's going to try to sow in some cynicism and doubt and, well, why waste your time if God didn't answer the prayer? And we can know all the right theological things and we can say, well, prayer is really meant to change you, not really change a circumstance. But that's not scriptural. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, James 5. Not the prayer of a righteous person changes them from the inside, so they're okay with it when God doesn't answer the prayers. No, prayer is powerful and effective. Can we trust that? Can we trust that even when prayers aren't answered in the exact way that I had planned, that I had hoped? The enemy is going to attack us and try to sow in that cynicism and doubt. That's why over and over and over again, Jesus is like, no, don't listen. Just ask. Ask me, go to me, just ask. I want to share with you very quickly a few verses from the Gospels. These are all teachings of Jesus. In Luke 11, verse 9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Mark 11, 24, therefore I ask you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. John 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Finally, Matthew 21, verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Whatever you ask for in prayer. In order to lift up the needs of others truly and regularly, okay, we need to trust that God is at work in and through prayer. We need to trust in God's word, what Jesus instructs over, well, you didn't do it my way, so I don't think prayer is really going to work all that much. I mean, I think all of us have had times where we have prayed fervently for something specific, and that specific request was answered maybe in a very different way than we had hoped. Maybe the answer was no. Maybe we're still waiting for the answer. But Lord Jesus, help us to trust in your word over my cynicism. Build up in us our trust in you in those times we're reluctant to pray because it's not a formula. Because there is a sense of mystery to it and messiness there. That it doesn't always work in the way that we expect. Lord, help us to live out our trust by lifting to you the real world, tangible needs of others. Not praying, Lord, make me okay with cancer. Lord, give me a heart that says I'm going to buck up and be okay with that little girl that has cancer. No, Lord Jesus, heal her in your name. Heal her physical body in her name by your miraculous power. Not give me a heart that can be okay with cancer. God wants to do that too, fine, but we're praying for real, tangible needs here. That's what Jesus says to pray for. First thing we need is trust. Second, for intercessory prayer to even happen, we need humility. We need humility. The humility to say, I can't fix this. The humility to say, that issue, that concern, that diagnosis, that is bigger than me. Only you can heal, restore, grow, or empower that, Lord Jesus. I can't do it, so I turn to you. In humility, I turn to you. Without humility, we're going to try to rely on our own stuff, our strength, our intellect, our planning. We are a group of you're a group of smart, capable people. I've been in meetings with almost all of you. You have great ideas. You have amazing plans. We can strategize all sorts of stuff together. But there's times that in humility, we just need to say, we can't do this. We need Jesus to take over. This is bigger than us. Lord, will you heal this? Lord, will you empower this? In 2 Chronicles 7, God is sort of having this dialogue with Solomon as they're planning, building up the temple, building this meeting place between God and his people. And God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. To pray for the needs of others, we need the humility to say, I can't, this is bigger than me to help, bigger than my ability to help them. Third, intercessory prayer requires love. We gotta love people. If we don't love people, we're not gonna pray for them. If we don't love people, we're not gonna pray for them. If we don't have actual, true compassion, empathy, genuine concern, okay, any other thesaurus word you want me to pull out of the recesses of my brain for loving people, if we don't care, we're not gonna love, we're not gonna pray for people. If we don't care. We're not gonna care if we don't love them. This is why Jesus names, one of the reasons, the many reasons, why Jesus names love as the core commandment. Loving God, loving others. That's why the mission of our church comes from what Jesus says is the two most important commandments. That's why the mission of our church is love God completely, love others selflessly. Okay, loving others selflessly must include lifting them up in prayer. Saying, Lord, I trust you with this. Lord, this is bigger than me. And Lord, I love that family so much, I lift them up to you. Again, Richard Foster, he writes this. He says, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. That goes back to the humility part. Okay, and this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. Intercessory prayer is selfless prayer. Whenever I think of selflessness, selfless love, my mind goes to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Okay, intercessory prayer is selfless prayer. It is a primary means of us loving people, loving others selflessly. If we say we're going to be about that as a church, we can't claim that and put it on t-shirts and put it on our bulletins and our website and then be like, oh, you have that need? I got my own stuff, sorry. Or I don't have time for that. Or I'm not going to make time for that. I don't have a homework for you this week. Last couple weeks, we've kind of sent you out with a try this week, pray this scripture this week. I'm not going to preach on intercessory prayer and then not give us time to do it. So I'm going to close as a church by doing something we don't always do. Allowing the Holy Spirit to just fill this place and give God our trust-filled, humble, and selfless intercessory prayers for others. And initially, you know, control freak me had in mind, like, oh, I'll make all these slides, and we'll be like, pray for this now for 43 seconds, and then pray for this for 25 seconds, and we'll guide you through the whole thing. And as I was writing this out, I just felt God be like, just stop. Just give people the chance to pray. You don't need to guide everything, PJ. Wow. The world will spin without you, Pastor PJ. That was a hard one for me to hear this week. No, but it was good. I just want to give us room to pray. So if you feel led, I'm not going to lead any of this. If you feel led, I want to encourage you to just stand quick. If you have a prayer need or have somebody you want to lift up, just give that need quickly and then sit back down. Or if you don't want to name a whole need, if there's just a name that you have in your heart or just a relationship, to stand and say that name, and you can sit down and we'll be praying over that need. If the thought of standing and speaking one word in front of a group of people makes you physically ill, and if you're saying, if you make me stand and say anything in front of people, I'm going to leave this church and never come back, I have a plan for you, okay? I'm planning things a little bit. We have a prayer wall in the back. That's meant for you to use. There's paper and there's pencils where you can just write down your prayer, put it on the prayer wall and say, Lord Jesus, this is my prayer. And me and Pastor Justin will be revisiting that regularly throughout the week, and we can be praying for that need for you as well. That's the purpose of why we have that, to say in a tangible, physical way, Lord Jesus, I'm not really one for speaking my needs in front of people, but you know what? I have this really heavy need, or they have this really heavy need. I lift this up to you. I give you this right now. You're also free in this next couple minutes to just sit where you are and pray quietly. That's okay too. You don't have to do anything. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's saying, they didn't stand up. Oh my goodness. It's okay. Whatever you need this to be, you are free to stay where you are. But again, 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Okay, so in this next couple minutes, if you feel led, stand and give a prayer. If you feel led to go back to the prayer wall and write out a prayer, do that. After a couple minutes, I'm going to close us and then lead us into our time of communion. But just let this be a time, let God speak. Let's go to Him in prayer together.